The first scripture I'd like to share with you is from Psalm 71 in verses 1 through 6. Let us hear together the word of the Lord. In thee, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In thy righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline thine ear to me and save me. Be thou to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and ruthless man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my confidence from my youth. By thee I have been sustained from my birth. Thou art he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of thee. Our second reading I'd like to share with you is from the book of Esther, chapter 4, and verses 1 through 17. Again, this will form the basis of today's message. Let us hear God's word together. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and wailed loudly and bitterly. And he went as far as the king's gate, for no one was to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And in each and every province where the command and decree of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay on sackcloth and ashes. Then Esther's maidens and her eunuchs came and told her, and the queen writhed in great anguish. And she sent garments to clothe Mordecai, that he might remove his sackcloth from him, but he did not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach from the king's eunuchs, whom the king had appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what this was and why it was. So Hathach went out to Mordecai to the city square in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him, and the exact amount of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict, which had been issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show Esther and inform her and to order her to go into the king to implore his favor and to plead with him for her people. And Hathach came back and related Mordecai's words to Esther. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and ordered him to reply to Mordecai. And the king's servants and the peoples of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death, unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter, so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. And they related Esther's words to Mordecai. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this?" Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go, assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa, and fast for me, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my maidens also will fast in the same way. And thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and did just as Esther had commanded him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For Mother's Day this year, I'd like to share with you an account of this young woman who had a critical decision to make, to either maintain her safety, wealth, and comfortable lifestyle, or to risk it all and even her life in order to possibly save her people. It's a decision that most mothers make, I think, to sacrifice their comfort and sometimes even their security for the sake of their children, sometimes even their health. Yet rarely do we imagine the great possibilities of how God may use their faithfulness and their sacrifices. And so now, millennia later, the Jews still celebrate that through this young woman, Esther, God saved the entire Jewish people. The full story of Esther is read aloud in synagogues even today. And every time Haman's name is mentioned, the children may stamp their feet or boo, hiss, and shake rattles in an attempt to drown out the sound of his name. After the service, some children still dress up and act out the story, and they also give gifts to their friends or to the poor. The festival of Purim, or Lots, is important to Jews as they remember God's power to save them and that good overcomes evil. And yet, what God did through Esther, he can do through any of us who make ourselves available to him in our time, in our generation, for such a time as this, as Mordecai asked her. For such a time as this, today's message, let us pray. Heavenly Father, prepare us now to hear this beautiful story, and may it change our lives, that we might give ourselves for the sake of your people and for the sake of your kingdom. Use us in our generation for such a time, even as this. In Jesus our Lord we pray. Amen. Thousands of years ago, in the land of Persia, there lived a powerful king named Ahasuerus. That was his Hebrew name. The Greeks knew him as Xerxes. King Xerxes reigned over an area of land from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces. And during the third year of his reign, he gave a large, extravagant, six-month-long banquet for his attendants, army officers, nobles, and princes of the land. Now, that's the longest party I ever heard of. And then, on the very last day of all the king's festivities, when the king was drunk with wine, he decided that he needed a grand finale. And so he called for his queen to come in and show off her beauty, to do that in front of all of his guests, and to wear her crown, for Queen Vashti was stunningly beautiful. Now, when the queen heard of his request, she refused to come before all those men and parade herself. And besides, she was hosting her own ladies at the same time. And so she refused King Xerxes' command. Now, Xerxes was furious. And it wasn't just because she said no, but she had sent word to him to be delivered in front of all of his guests. And so all of his guests heard that she refused him. She had completely humiliated him. And his immense ego was tweaked. And so he decided to call his wisest men in and ask them what in the world he should do about this. And one of his advisors, Memucan, came and told him, "Well, you better make a royal edict and say that Vashti will never again be able to come into your presence. In other words, give her royal position away to someone else who deserves it. That will teach not only her, but all the women of our land to give honor to their husbands." Now, this wasn't a real sophisticated plan, and probably not very effective like he thought, but somehow God used it for God's ultimate good. Naturally, after being humiliated in front of all of his guests, this chauvinistic lesson seemed like a great idea to King Xerxes, teach her a lesson. And so it was that King Xerxes divorced Vashti, and the search went out among all the young maidens of the land for a new queen. Crowds of young ladies gathered at the capital of Susa, And among them was a beautiful young Jewess, Hadassah. She was known in Persian as Esther, which means star, but her Hebrew name was Hadassah. The scriptures say that Esther was very attractive in her figure, and her face was beautiful. Now, there was also a Jew named Mordecai whose family had been led captive from Jerusalem, and he had been raising Esther, his uncle's daughter, for both of her parents had died. And so Mordecai thought that Esther's beauty might land her in the king's palace. After all, her life would be much easier there. She'd have everything she ever wanted. And then during the contest, the king finally saw her and he was captivated. He was fully enthralled with her. And he decided to grant her all the servants she needed, the best place in the harem. And after 12 months of purification and beautification, 6 months of bathing in oil of myrrh, and another 6 months of spices and cosmetics, Esther was finally brought before the king. After all these treatments, she must have been even more stunning. And yet, the humble and innocent Esther did not demand anything. She was different than the belligerent Vashti. Hadassah was submissive, and she was shy and timid. She was a breath of fresh air for the king. She was as pretty on the inside, you might say, as she was, maybe even more so on the inside, as she was on the outside. And as a result, King Xerxes could not help but fall in love with her, and so he decided to make Esther his new queen. However, Esther did not reveal to the king who her people were or who her relatives were, because Mordecai had warned her to keep all of that a secret. Now, like any good parent, Mordecai wanted to ensure that everything went well with Hadassah. And so every day, he hung around the palace gate waiting to hear some news about his adopted daughter. Perhaps there might be some way he could help her after all, or advise her. But then one day he overheard a conversation between two of the king's officials who were plotting to kill King Xerxes. And immediately he sent word to Esther. For Mordecai knew full well that if the king were killed, then his queen would probably be killed as well. And that was the way of political coups and sometimes just plain successions. So Esther told the king all about the plot against his life, and naturally the two officials were thereby sentenced to hang on the gallows. Friends, it is while we are faithfully carrying out our responsibilities that we are given a key blessing. It is when we are where we are supposed to be that God unlocks his fullest plan for our lives. And without being the good parent that Mordecai was, he never would have been able to save the life of the king, you see. And later in the story, that singular fact proved to be the key in saving his own life. Being a good parent, that one thing, that one quality did all of that. Now, a powerful man named Haman enters the story. He was head of all the princes and nobles of the land. He was second only to the king in his power and authority. And he used to walk by the city gate and pass Mordecai sitting there. But Mordecai, as a good Jew, would never give this man any homage or bow to him because Haman was a descendant of King Agag of the Amalekites. And the Amalekites had done Israel great harm in their history. And this incensed Haman against Mordecai. And so Haman plotted to destroy Mordecai and all the Jews in the land. He even cast a lot, or pur, to determine the date of their extermination. It was to be 11 months on that date. Then came he before King Xerxes and declared, "King, there is a certain people who do not obey the king's laws, so it is not in the king's interest to let them remain. Let there be a decree that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the king's treasury." Now that was a huge sum of money. Talk about buying your way or buying your vote or decree from the king. The entire annual revenue of the Persian Empire was perhaps only around 14,000 talents. And he gave 10,000 talents, or was going to give that much money to the king's treasury? And so naturally, Xerxes agreed. And he gave his signet ring to seal the orders. The Jews were to be exterminated. And that also meant that those orders could never be rescinded for any reason. And when the law and the date went forth for their annihilation, there was among all the people of the Jews weeping and wailing, fasting and praying, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes, the scriptures say. This edict was to destroy all the men and women and children, sparing no one. This wasn't just an order to destroy the Jews who stayed in Babylon, but everywhere, including Israel and Jerusalem, in every province. And so when Esther heard this edict against her people, she writhed in anguish because there was no changing this edict. Now, Mordecai knew that Esther had influence over the king. And so he sent word that she ought to go before him and plead for the people. Mordecai must have felt somewhat responsible for this horrific edict because he was the one who had refused to pay homage to the very powerful and dangerous Haman. Now, the law of the king to go into his presence was that anyone who came before him without his summoning them would mean death to the person who came to the king, unless the king granted clemency to that person by extending his golden scepter. So Esther reminded Mordecai, "You know I can't do that. And besides that, the king hasn't summoned me in 30 days. The king may be more than a little displeased with me right now. So now is not a good time to go there and ask for anything, certainly not to risk my life and expect his clemency. And because the king's laws cannot be rescinded, what can I possibly do anyway? How can I possibly change what he has decreed and sealed with his signet ring?" Sometimes in life, we feel like there is nothing we can possibly do to change our lives, to change our situations, to change the laws of the land, to challenge even an unjust law that would harm others. But God doesn't ask us, you see, to come up with some perfect scheme and plan. He only requires that we act in faith and to do what we can do and let him handle the rest. So Mordecai felt that he needed to warn her. "If you remain silent at this time, Esther, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from some other place. But you and your father's house will perish." In other words, this may still happen from some other location, from some other person, and the Jews be saved, but you won't survive it. And then he adds, "And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this?" Maybe it wasn't just due to your beauty, Esther. Maybe there's something you need to do in your position. Friends, there are times when we will be thrust into critical situations that may affect many, many people. And we may think that we have gained our position or power for our own benefits, but God may have actually given you that position or influence or resources, whatever you have, for something else entirely different. Esther was not made queen so that she could just enjoy the easy life. And friends, you have not attained those possessions and things that are blessings in your life just so that you enjoy life. She was put into that position for a critical time and a moment to help save her entire people. And you have been given resources to help others. You and I are placed in the positions of parents, so to speak, to help train and rescue our children and grandchildren from those things that would harm them. We are placed in a position of influence and sometimes even power to support our families, our husband or wife. We are placed into positions of influence in the Lord's church for just such a time as is necessary. We are to use our influence or authority to help and even save others. At this church, we are to make disciples of Jesus Christ and help them grow in their faith. And whatever we have that can aid in that assisting of that purpose, we need to give. Yet if some churches choose not to use their witness to help others know Christ, if some people choose not to use their resources to help other people, then they might discover that God will use other people and other churches to accomplish those same purposes. And if we as individuals have decided to say no to God, perhaps our purpose, if it is not to be fulfilled, will be cut short. Mordecai was telling Esther, you can say no, but God will choose another way to save his people, and it won't fare well for you. At this moment in her life, Esther might have begun to comprehend this paradox, that he who has found life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. That is the great Christian paradox found in Matthew 10:39. Would she really risk losing everything, including her life, for the sake of her people? I think many mothers do risk their health and sometimes even their lives to save their children. I was reminded of the sacrifice that mothers can make when I heard the story of what a mother did in Yazoo County, Mississippi, during a tornado. Nikki Carpenter, 31 years old, was getting her three boys, Austin, 1-year-old, Ethan, 2, and Lane, 7, ready when a tornado struck. She pulled a mattress over the top of them, and instead of crawling under it herself, she threw herself on top of the mattress to keep it in place and to shield her children from the flying debris. After the tornado threw her mobile home 100 yards, her cousin ran to the scene and pulled the three boys from the rubble. But she discovered that their mother had given the highest measure of sacrifice to save them. She had given her life. Our Lord gave himself in order to save us. He went before the Father's throne and made himself sin. He died so that the scepter of God's forgiveness might be raised for us, that we might come into his presence. And now we have entered freely in his invitation to come and be with him in his kingdom forever and ever. Christ has summoned you. Christ has summoned me into his glorious presence. And so Esther finally made her decision. On the third day of the Jews' fasting, she put on her royal clothes and made herself upright. And then she came and just stood in the inner court of the king's palace as the king was sitting on his throne opposite the entrance. And all he had to do was lift up his eyes to see her across the room standing there. And so he did, and he noticed the gentle humble and beautiful Esther standing, waiting patiently to have audience with him. And he extended the golden scepter for her to live, and later for all her people. God's chosen people would now be saved. I tell you this story today of this brave young woman because today is a good day to honor all women. I tell you this story of faith because you and I need to understand that we have been placed in our positions not primarily for our own profit or blessings, but to help save others. I tell you this story of this young woman because you need to know that the Lord uses the most unlikely people to do his will. I tell you the story of Esther because today I honor another woman who was also named Esther, and she was my mother. She provided for me when I was a helpless child. She protected me when I could not protect myself. She sacrificed many of her own dreams for mine. She risked her life that I might live. And I thank God for a mother who taught me to pray and told me about Jesus and always gave me the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. My mother, Esther, was so rightly named. And I pray that you and my sister, Dawn, and my wife, Laura, and our daughters, Rebecca and Maddie, and our granddaughters, Sophia, Skylar, Elise, and Michelle, and all the young girls and women who hear this message will be edified, built up, and encouraged to be all that God has created you to be. For in Christ, we read, there is neither male nor female. And God has great purposes and noble designs for all those who trust him. And no matter how humble or elevated your position in life may be, God has a plan for you. And so, happy Mother's Day to all of you who are truly Esthers of the faith. For you have been placed here by God in this place for just such a time as this. To God be all the praise and glory. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for giving us people like Esther and many other women who give of themselves for the sake of others, who've been placed in positions of honor or authority or influence, even in their own families, O Lord, to change the world. We pray for them. We pray that they might be faithful, that they might risk all things for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray in his holy name. Amen.